on the game.
Yeah, so this is just the Excel. Think of it as just an elaborate Excel spreadsheet. That's all it is. It's just an online version of an Excel spreadsheet of the property. So I took out from all of the handouts that we've been wading through for years, PDF files and things like that, and tried to distill the stuff that I felt was relevant or important to look at. And then Christine and I looked at it together, and we added some fields and sorted and classified and all those good things. So anyways, starts off with the historic name, its current name, and these are pulled right out of those reports that we have, the phase one, the reconnaissance survey, things like that. The address, I did add things like the SHPO number.
And it hasn't been, quote, proofed.
No,
I mean, so
that's
you,
right.
You've been doing this, but then...
Invariably, there's clerical mistakes
yeah.
in here.
Yeah.
I didn't try to manipulate or change anything,
right.
but mistakes have been made, I'm sure. So this
it's
is
just
where,
a matter of trying to get as much data on it as possible.
Yeah, and this is where it'd be good to have another set of eyes look at this and say, oops, looks like you made a typo here or made a mistake there. But anyways, I added things like the SHPO number, so that was on our reports. The parcel identification number, I got that from the...
tax records.
Well, I went over here. I used this as a reference point. This is the GIS website.
Okay.
So they have a filter already for those. And in some of these, you know, you can tell someone says, well, I don't know what part of St. Mary's they're going to consider important.
Right.
We're just going to grab the whole damn thing. So that's what they did. So I chose what they had available. I pulled that in into
okay.
the spreadsheet. Let's see. Then there was a thing. It was interesting. They had a term called construction date. And then in some of our reports, they called... it's called something else.
Both things by the 106 group, but they use different terms?
Yeah, they use a term called period of significance or something like that.
That is different than the
well,
construction
Well, but
date.
It's yes. I'd have to look at the thing. They use a different term because it usually was, it looked like the construction date, but they used a different term. And sometimes you can see they had multiples. So they put down like 1917 and 1924. Maybe there was an addition in 24. The original construction was 1917.
Can you pull up a sheet, a 106?
Let me say, sometimes the period of significance sometimes can include several different dates. It usually does include the construction date as a point of origin, and then it may expand to include other years.
Like the period of significance for Days Inn Hotel Carlton was called out as 1920, which is when it finished construction, through, I believe, 1974. Which is the period of time in which the Grassley family owned it continuously. So that's a period.
Well,
that's the period
yeah,
of significance.
Yeah, I might not be using the right term. Let's look at that.
And it might even say 1928 as an additional year if it's the right, if it's a smaller period of significance.
Okay, let's see here. So this is the actual, well, this one's a registered one. Let's see what they use the term where it confused me. It's still loading. Yeah, significant dates. So they had period of significance, and then they had significant dates. That's what it was. So I was like, okay, well, I'll put that down. They didn't have a field said construction date. That's what all of our reconnaissance surveys from the 106 said.
So this is the ones you pulled out of a national register?
Yeah, because
register.
I didn't have anything but this to reference to pull the information.
Got it.
Because there was no 106, whatever, the
phase one or phase two
for those.
Depending on the context of significance, you may get different types of significant dates. If it's significant because of it's associated with the lives of certain people, then it's going to be.
But on that form, Jane, because
yes.
you're familiar with those forms, is
yes.
there a space in there that they would have had date of construction?
No. It's. Date of construction is usually considered to be either a significant date or the start of the period of significance.
Okay.
Some of these were quite old. It was interesting to look at.
Yeah, and the things have changed.
Yeah, the format, the nomenclature has changed, I'm
yeah.
sure, so I wasn't too worried about it. But it's just something to think about. We'll have to clean up if we want to have a standard way of, like here, specific dates, 1917. I'm not sure where I had the other dates in here.
As you're doing this, all I can say is thank you very much.
Oh,
it was kind of interesting. Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah. And it's a behemoth task.
It was a few hours of work, but it's like you get an appreciation of, oh, okay, now I know where these things are. You're
yeah.
going back and forth to a GIS. Okay, that's where it is in town. I didn't know where
yeah.
that was. So it's a learning exercise.
Are we able to pull up by a particular zip code or by, like, if we wanted everything in a zip code, everything even southwest, could we do it from this?
No. No. What I could do, though, it's so it's you can sort and filter by address and stuff like that. You could, in theory, look for the keyword like Southwest if it has an SW in its address. You know, that would be one thing.
Because I just think that we may, at some point on some properties, want to see the other historical buildings that are around it. And I think
that's where I think we'd want to probably have to reference, like, the GIS website has such, you know, you could say, okay, what are we talking about? Okay, so this property is Magoonies, is surrounded by these other properties, and da-da-da-da-da, right? So yeah. that's really the official record would be this GIS.
It is already mapped.
It's already mapped, yeah. So this is all publicly available information. So I think we could serve that purpose and say, you know, in a working session, okay, we're talking about that property. It's all by itself in Southwest, but surrounded by nothing of significance. You know, when it helps.
I just imagine if somebody
versus this is surrounded by many properties.
But if someone didn't know, couldn't find the location. Remember, we were looking through all those churches, and we weren't sure where certain things were. So I was just concerned that we can find a way of.
Well, that's why I tried to reference the particle information.
At this point, the fact that the parcel number is in there means that people can go to the GIS mapping, which is.
Right.
It's part of the GIS county system.
So I was able to find.
If we click on that, we can just get.
Yeah. So like we can see the parcel information number. I did type it in. Some are not applicable. Like the fire clock doesn't have a place.
Is there a link to that GIS somewhere on here that would be?
It's the Olmsted County GIS. I mean, I could add a link.
But I mean, I'm not that good with computers. So if I just wanted to see a particular.
It's never too late to learn.
Well. It is for me.
No, it's not.
You have to remember, this man works for IBM.
Yeah, but. I know.
Can I ask, is this information on your spreadsheet going to be publicly available?
That's the big question.
Through NIR or through the GIS mapping service? Is that?
You mean all of this? Or what are you asking?
I'm asking all of this, yes.
We don't know yet.
Okay.
I mean, that hasn't been answered by...
Man, at some point, I think the goal is to get this list linked to the HPC's website.
Right, so that people...
Click on it and open the list up and see what's on it.
But we haven't actually technically... And in terms of city protocols, we haven't sorted through what's reasonable. But it seems, from talking with Jenny, it would seem like all of this, you know, should be public data.
And it's actually in the ordinance. I was going to point out tonight that is one of
right now. It's my own personal spreadsheet. To avoid having, I demand that I see your list. This is my personal spreadsheet. That's my working document. But yeah, I'd love nothing more than to share this. I can share this to the world, right?
I click
on a button and everybody can see it, and I can say who can edit it and stuff. But I don't want it to be on my Gmail account. It should be on the. You know, Rochester HPC Gmail account or something, and there's concerns.
You shouldn't need to edit it.
And then, so the alternative could be we print this as a PDF and that gets posted. Yeah. So there's multiple ways, but it's not searchable.
There will be changes
it's not a database
to it,
that way.
And it will continually need to be updated.
Yeah,
and
staff can,
and perhaps, you know, the HPC and working with stuff. Yeah, at some point you'd think it would be in good enough shape. That it would be it would no longer be in your Gmail account.
Yeah, right. And putting this on there might be helpful today. I could make a PDF of it and make it available.
Link right there to the GIS map.
That's the GIS.
Yeah.
Map.
So if you click on that,
I just added it because you said.
Oh, you just added. Okay.
He just did. He's very quick.
I'm customer driven.
This is the thing that you realize about Mark. You say it, and it seems to make sense. It happens.
What is the plus? What is that? OF. On the parcel
that's
ID.
Another number.
Oh, others and others. Oh. So sometimes,
some of the spaces can't, you know, all the type is in there, but you just can't see.
So they had multiple parcels identified.
So all of those are multiple numbers. Okay.
Yeah. So I just picked one that would give us a chance. Okay. There you go. I'm close enough. And okay, like Soldiers Field, I think is one they had. You know, what do you choose for Soldiers Field? You know, I think there's more. See, there's like this and this. They're all multiple parcels mixed in there. So.
But eventually, we could pull. Like, if you click on that, you'll pull up all the other numbers too. So you won't just see like in the Mayo Clinic part.
Well, in my mind, it's like what we haven't weighed in on what part of Soldier Field is historically significant, right?
Right.
We may decide there's nothing in this parcel that is, but this part is very significant, and that's what we designate. So that becomes the parcel that has the significant piece. So
But if it hasn't been determined yet, you're showing the whole thing, as you did at St. Mary's.
Well, I just made a note there. I said, and others. Well, right now you can tell someone, I didn't do this piece. This is the city or county did
right.
this. They drew these lines.
And they drew those based on the 106.
They chose the most convenient available personal information.
This actually dates back to the Stark Report.
Mm-hmm. But the ad yeah,
but they've added to it.
Sure.
And then they've added to
but
it.
But they've added to it, yeah. the 106 stuff.
But the yeah. and others, we'd or be able to figure out what the others
maybe
are.
Maybe, you're saying they may have taken stuff off, because the Stark Report had
more
properties
parcels.
On it.
So like the Soldier's Field has two or three different parcels.
No, I understand that, but my only concern is will we be able to access the other parcels?
Well, they're right. Well, they're. I just didn't type them all in.
But
if there's five parcels, I just chose
attached
nothing.
To the database, so you could see them
eventually.
Together.
Oh, sure. Yeah, when it's the official.
It won't just be one parcel, and then you know there's some others, but you don't.
Well,
know
I would presume. Like one thing we talked, like St. Mary's. You know, is all of St. Mary's historically significant? Like the stuff that's being constructed today, I would think not. But there's parts of it that are, and so we might say, you know what, the facade and the chapel are, and we want to identify. Right now, they're identified as one big lump.
Right.
And so we'd want to say, okay, the chapel is this piece, and the facade that we've designated is this piece, and that's it. I'm just hypothetical situation.
Right.
So then we'd go to, hey, Brent, you gotta. Hurry up, get that updated, and then he'll update the GIS thing to show the right boundaries. Right now, they just chose the parcels. So that's what I'm guessing. It's a new layer. They added these polygons, and they're based on parcels. So I don't know if you can then narrow it down.
St. Mary's is probably one parcel.
Right.
So
I don't know if when we go and say...
We can't create a new parcel.
Well, right, but
the property, unless it's being subdivided.
But my point is, if you add a layer... You might say we might have a new line that's drawn and says this part's significant and this part is significant, and they happen to be on the parcel, but they're on a new layer that has its own numbering, something like that. That's what I'm just guessing is the way it would work out. So they did a quick and dirty, click the most relevant parcel they could, and this is to protect the properties in case someone wanted to demolish one, it would flag a
that
review
it's flagged.
And
right.
all that stuff.
Okay, so at some point, I mean, that's another thing. At some point, it would, I don't know if there should be a review of the person in GIS who's going to be handling this or not.
I think once we start really designating, and there's this question of that, what piece of it did we choose a part of the parcel or something like
over
that?
There?
Well, probably Mary Sheehan, I would guess.
Okay.
Because she's the one that would update that layer and... change the highlighting from the green to the red if it's designated as a landmark property.
Okay.
Okay, then there's stuff, because you can see some of these, they didn't have a date, so it's circa 1950, they didn't have an exact date in the report. And then we've talked about these different things. What are our potentials, potential challenge, potential accepting, which ones are designated, so I have a little flag there. So these are the landmark properties. This is the potential. Which ones were contested?
And the order of these is based on the numbers and sequence, or how are they ordered?
I think I just know. It looks like my computer's freezing up. Or click share.
No, the click share must be.
Because, is there a logical way to order these?
I just grouped. Right now they're grouped by, I think I sorted based off of click share.
Right, but then within that subset is what I'm asking.
You can sort it any way you want it. It's easy.
I'm asking the question, is there a logical way to sort them?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, if anybody's in there, they can sort them. Just as they're looking.
Yeah, if they want to do by address.
But
in terms of the base age.
Thing and when you do a PDF, because in some ways, sometimes it's going to be frozen.
Sure.
Not searchable.
Yeah, I could do it by historic name.
And that's why I still think, for the public access.
I'm not sure what happened here.
You want a searchable base if you can.
You can, optical character recognition, you can search on names.
Yeah, in terms of PDFs.
Yeah, we could make it
a
PDF that people can search. You know what I mean?
Because sometimes they set it up so you don't get the search option.
Right.
Yeah, these wouldn't be like a scanned graphic image. It would be a searchable PDF would be the goal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
It's reconnecting to the click share.
Okay, got it.
One second. All right, so while we're waiting for that, I've got the local status is just because some of these were grouped. I had reports based on potential accepted, potential challenge, or potential. So I grouped them in a logical fashion that way. Okay, now it's ready to share again.
Okay, we're looking at the inventory.
Yeah, this is, you care about this.
What's that?
You did care about this.
I care about a lot of things.
That was in the past tense, though. He's changed his mind.
Oh, he has? Okay.
I'm not sure what's happening to ClickShare. It's dying again. You can all huddle around my computer. It's not crashing. I'm not sure if we're getting some...
Was the projector crashed or something?
Yeah,
it's the sharing
feature.
Yeah.
Is there a hard copy or hardwired way to go connect to this thing directly? Without ClickShare? Is there a cable?
Yeah, this type of connection on your computer.
No, I don't have any. I have HDMI. I'll try this other USB port over here. So then I have the properties that are landmark properties. They were the original, you know. So I have a National Historic ID, and then I tried to pull out from them what criteria was touched upon in that listing, and then there was a field called property last updated. So I pull that out because sometimes we might look at a property and say, oh, the report was written in 2008 and we reviewed it in 2012 and had a new report made. So you
that
asked
was
to have
Jimmy's
that.
Suggestion. Yeah. Just so in the chart, you know what the last update was. Yeah. And still, when, you're going to have to go into a database to find all the details.
Yeah. Or when's the last time we talked about like touched it or something like that, did something formal with it.
And the other thing, Brent, a number of things, Aaron got a number of things, on some properties, he got things in addition to or besides things from the 106 group that are pertinent to potential historic or historic properties. Do you have access to those, or were those organized in any way within his files that...
I'd have to look through his electronic file. That's all he had.
Do he have any paper files?
Of the like the old ordinance and stuff like that.
No, but of property owners might have submitted something, or some other people might have submitted things.
Not that I saw.
Okay.
All right. So let's.
So to the best of our ability, we're going to have to review this. People who might remember that things got submitted. Okay.
So I used like the 19B criteria. That's our whatever A through G or whatever it was.
H.
It's
really important to remember that.
A through H. So which ones applied in the recommendations? And so like these historic ones aren't NA because they're already designated, so it's not relevant.
And the criteria, the National Register criteria are different. There are four criteria.
So I put those in there, and we'll have to see. They called out A and B.
Right.
Things. And I think I defined what those are at the bottom here. Your system keeps crashing, Brent. I'm not sure. My tax dollars go. I'm not sure. I'm kind of upset about that.
Maybe
you have another click share? Can I use yours? Tell you what, you take this crap you want. Because
his is working fine, right?
Yeah. Government goes
take it. No, mine went on
to it. Oh, did it conk out too?
He just wasn't complaining.
Well, mine turns red when it has issues. So we'll see if this one has issues. Oh, I thought it was ready. Takes a while to unsync up here.
Is why I was never good with computers. If he can't do it, how could someone like me do it?
Well, you can see the extent of my troubleshooting. I just plug in his. I just steal his and plug it in.
Just turning it off
and
turning it back on.
That's what it needs. Okay, now it's ready to share again. Well, there we go. Okay, so then I pulled... Okay, let's scroll down again. Hold on. Where'd it go? Okay, so here we have... Here's our 19B criteria. Oh, damn it, it died again. So there's the 19B criteria. I put those down there. And then National Historical Register criteria had their own criteria that were on the form, so I pulled those out. I don't know if those have ever changed.
You mean the A through H?
No, the National Register has its own criteria.
Yeah. I mean, the criteria in our ordinance tie to those, but their four are much broader.
Yeah.
Ours are sort of more narrow definitions.
Right. I didn't know which one he was saying, if he was sure they changed.
Yeah, I was going to ask Jane that if the National Register criteria is at a standard form or not. You know, so far the ones I saw all had like A through D. There was like it said like the properties associated with events that made it significant. It's
how
associated
long
with lives of persons.
Have they changed?
I think since
66.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know, property embodies distinctive characteristics, and then property is yielded or is likely yielded in port prehistory information is the four things they had in their check boxes. Yeah, I'm not sure why this isn't working. I'm going to just do a demo from here, and you'll have to ice stream with it. So anyways, I've got the... You can get closer. I can't trust that clicker. It's crashing all the time. So if I go, there's not much. There's not much more. Let me get to the top here. Okay, then we go into consultant Rick. Okay, so then we added a field called survey type. Was it intensive or was it the drive-by survey? So the 106 report was like a phase one or what we call a recon survey.
And Jenny used the phrase recon. Reconnaissance,
so I use recon
for that. So yeah. And so I'm checking with Jane, and the other one was
intensive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Hotel Carlton, we
used.
Did a phase two
because
or an intensive.
The 106 group uses their term, but that's not the term everyone uses.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So we're trying to switch it to, okay.
Yeah.
Reconnaissance and phase
and intensive.
And intensive.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the term. And then I didn't know what to call the ones that were already National Registered. They had a report on it. I'm assuming they're intensive. They had links to a document, but.
Did
you know,
have
I don't
a
know
question
if you,
mark next to some of them? Like, you know.
Yeah, it says intensive question mark because it's a question for the team. Would we consider an intensive survey?
What?
Well, on the list, I can't really see it from here, but when it was on the screen, it said like B and then a question mark.
Those were the criteria.
With the question mark?
I think you're thinking of the National Historic Register.
Yeah.
Those are the
yeah.
ones that had the question mark.
Yeah, some of these had questions
had question
because...
He hadn't verified that they've remained the same.
Well, there was that also... when I was looking at the report, I'd have to go back and look at each one. It's like, well, what is it they're actually ticking the box on here? I'm not quite clear. It's an old form from like 30 years ago, literally.
Sorry,
things
yeah.
like,
this
you know
wasn't
what
done
I mean?
By the 106 group.
Right.
It's the form that got filed with.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
This is where, you know, other folks could look at it and say, yeah, I think we should, it looks like that's the historic, you know. Mine was a quick...
question mark because you drew the judgment rather than it being something a consultant
yeah.
explicitly
yeah.
said?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, if I had a question...
Did you move the Moss McGrandu building into the landmark? Because it was in two or three places.
I'm not sure. I'd have to look. The Conley Fact Camera one?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's up there in the grouping.
Okay.
Yeah, under landmark. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then what I did is I added a link to the, so like this one would, it, so on these properties, on the historic ones, many of them had a link to the historical website, and then you could pull down its PDF file, its
right.
actual PDF. So then you go, okay, there it is, and then you can read it. It's kind of settled news. And then on this other stuff, we have like our potentials, and I tried to have the links whenever I could find it for all the properties. There's some we don't have, like Silver Lake Park. Some of these do not have, I could not find in my notes where the phase one was done or the recon survey information was.
So these are the links to... the 106 groups reports.
Yeah, yeah. So if I clicked on this one,
things.
For instance,
yeah.
this just goes to my Google. Here's the, you know, we've seen this a million times. This is that list of properties and stuff, and it goes on and on and on. And somewhere in there is that particular property. So
okay.
I didn't break out the PDFs into 15 different sections, or, you know, by property. I just linked to the grouping right now.
Okay, I have another, this is an odd question. Is the Days Inn Hotel Carlton on here now?
Yeah, that was always on here. Mm-hmm. It was on this list, yeah.
Okay.
It was potentially significant.
Yeah, what did I put there?
See, it was never...
I think you put
it on
as landmark.
It would, yeah. It's its own category.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I just wanted to make sure, because at some point I don't think it was on there, because it...
No, I had the Hotel Carlton. I put it in, and it's called the Days Inn. It's still considered potential, because it's City Council makes the determination. So I just listed
okay.
it as that.
You.
So I didn't make a note yet that it's
no, that's
that we
that's appropriate.
It.
I just because at some point we talked about it.
And that one I had a link to the SHPO inventory because that had a phase two
right.
thing. Anyhow, so that's
so when there's more than, for instance, on the Days in Hotel Carlton, there's more than one report.
I only linked to one right now. Yeah.
I mean that's and again,
so
one of the things Jenny
yeah.
was trying to get us to was how do we link to something that gives you the whole pool of information.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I mean, that's
well, that's
the
thing. That's what I wonder. You know, at the end of the day, you're going to say, we've designated this as an historic property, and here's the application. All the other noise and garbage that was generated on that journey, I don't know. Do we want to have that, right? That's available as public records. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a matter of public record. It's buried in 1,500 million, you know, emails and agendas. So I don't know how much do we want to... filter all that out
oh,
and you know, all the counter arguments
like
and letters of recommendation or not.
Adopts
yeah.
board or something.
What's that?
Jenny's
you could just link it to the ordinance because the council has adopted an ordinance to designate the property as it.
Right, that would be the relevant final say on it, right? Everything else is kind of a working thing. Until
what did you do with something like the Avalon where we approved an extension of the building? Did you show that as...
The Avalon, as, I think... I don't think I did anything on that one. I haven't done, because right now it's just a list of properties, so I didn't make a note that we approved an extension.
Before we go on to that, Ginny's point about adding a date about last touched was that Heritage is ongoing. Questions will come up, things will change. And her point was that you're linking to a record that has, to the best of the city's ability, all of its history on the building. Not just the final decision, but the basis for the decision.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, well, that gets into this library stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't answer it right now.
No,
but
no,
that's, I'm just, because that was her point about the last touch. It's the last touch, so you know when it was last touched.
Right.
But then the background of that is everything that's been addressed about the building.
So that to me is, I don't know if that turns into
I suppose you can make a column that has a date of when the HPC took action on it, and then date
city council
took action, and you could link each of those fields to like the council packet with you know, have all the information, the HPC packet.
Yeah, you could.
That's a good suggestion.
You could have a
and any changes
in a database with
and any changes too, like as I said, like the Avalon. So
which is again, that's a city council action, an HPC action.
Yeah, it has to be in there with the date somehow.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff to add. This
well,
is just
But again, you know, one of Jenny's points was, as I recollect, correct me if you heard it differently, is the spreadsheet, the basic spreadsheet. You don't want columns for everything.
Yeah, you have.
You
to
want links that take you somewhere to get to everything. So it's like starting to date everything in there. I don't, you know, again, you might have last city action, last touched.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because she says you're going to have, you want to have something that people can look and see, and then you're going to have a library. If someone says, well, I'm really interested in how you reach that conclusion, well, here's where we keep all the records or something, wherever that place is. Is it online? Is
city
it a physical box or something like that? I don't know. What's that?
City clerk's office.
It was a
that's
little
right.
bit
Go.
Flippant, but yeah.
So yeah, that's right.
But I mean, in most cases, this stuff is going to be online. That's
Well, when you say it's online, but is it organized under its own thing? Does it have its own place? I'm going to use a loosely a web page, right? So how could it be cataloged, as you're saying, online? That's who, where does that budget come from? Is that this group? Is that part of our annual budget to have some kind of IT thing where these things are being cataloged if it's accessible?
Library database support, something. Because this is really not a database. It's, well, what is
I kind of envision this. I'm sorry, and I know I came late, and I apologize for that. But I thought this was to help us kind of filter and rank how we were going to get through our charge.
That
right?
was my purpose of creating.
And what I'm hearing, which I'm not objecting to, but I'm just trying to understand, it's evolving into almost a record-keeping database.
Our ordinance requires that we keep the records. Yeah, that's part of the ordinance.
They're just saying you can't do one without
the other. I get keeping the record, but this database is somehow sorting how all the records are being kept. And I don't know if this is a document for the public or, like I said, has this become some kind of, you know, I don't know if website's the right thing because I don't see a website being necessary, but some link within the HPC that might be part of the city government site, and you can go in there and you can find these archives. Right?
Yeah.
So then... I guess what I'm thinking is, let's say we have 150 line items of things, and line item number one is going to link, so all of those things would link to their own place on the city under the HPC's section, so there's our record keeping potentially.
Brent?
And then we don't need to worry about how much stuff we're putting on the spreadsheet. The spreadsheet is really just a key with a hot link to a place on the city's website under the HPC's responsibility and charge, and then you go there, and there might be documents and files and downloads for that one property. So every property that ends up making this page essentially could get its own site, and it's just going to link to a bunch of places within the city site, but I don't know what kind of money that costs. I don't know how that has to get to approved, and if it's through us, I'm just throwing it out for conversation.
Yeah.
But that would be the easy way, I think, to maintain this spreadsheet to... You know, to the point of, you know, we don't want a lot of dates and the spreadsheet could become overwhelming. I think it needs to have a couple of, like, like it is right now, just key things, and then just a hyperlink to a page would probably be the best way to sort it and make it easily accessible for the public and understandable.
Right. And Ginny, the person I mentioned is the person at SHPO who's has the greatest expertise in inventories.
Okay.
And that was her recommendation.
So anyways, that's it so far.
What do we do to try and find out what that budget would be if that's part of our charge? How do we try and figure out how to start putting that instrument together? If
millions of dollars.
A lot of money.
What's that?
It'd be a lot of money, I think.
Tens of thousands.
I don't know.
I don't know. He's the IBM.
It could be grantable.
If we were a CLG.
No.
Without being
legacy,
a CLG.
Through legacy grants.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
It could be grantable.
Oh, okay.
Through the legacy grants, funding.
To maintain it on an ongoing basis or just to establish it?
To establish it and maintain it,
You could break it into phases.
Right.
The establishment's the big investment.
Is there a large, database? I don't remember, was there a larger database? Do we have to have our own copy of a database or could we glom on to a Minnesota state database and carve out a city section?
Or put it on them to maintain at a state level?
No, I don't know.
I mean,
it's considered a local responsibility because it's a local HPC.
But, you know, every city's reinventing the wheel. There's probably some, I don't know.
Well, that's actually what I was trying to get from Ginny.
Yeah.
Isn't there some city that's the best example we could follow?
Yeah, yeah. Copy what they do, I don't know.
Maybe I'll email Ginny again.
What's the size of the amount of grant we can get for something like this?
Well, the small grants are up to $10,000, and those are quarterly. You could get...
What about, because he's talking more than that. So
yeah.
I was just throwing out based on what websites
Well, let's
cost.
See how much we can get. So
the mid and large is unlimited.
Unlimited?
I would think that we'd want to get...
Unlimited, we can use it for all kinds of things.
Higher limits, of course, being much harder.
Grants are often narrower in scope, right? We couldn't do it with everything, but... I think as we're charged with record keeping, if we had somebody write an application for a grant and we said the purpose is for our record keeping, it'd give us a broad enough scope to really do some things to try and manage this electronically.
If you looked at it as being public education,
state of the art,
I think you would.
And does everybody know when we say legacy grants what we're talking about?
Yeah,
it's the land, arts, water that the state of Minnesota approved in 2008, and it's got a logo, and it's been used in all sorts of ways.
And you're paying sales tax into this, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Does this include staff support, like in the grant, or is it just for the something else?
That might be harder to do. If you were hiring a consultant or someone on a part-time basis, yes.
But the legacy grants were used for the Minnesota Preservation Manual, correct?
Right. They were used for the Stark study.
But in terms of what this group is familiar with, you helped us review the HPC manual that was put together. Mm-hmm. There was a legacy grant that helped fund the consultants that helped with that.
Fully funded that.
I would also like to see if we could use it, I don't know if it's possible, to give him like an assistant for this purpose.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If you were to hire
unless you
temporary,
don't like to supervise somebody.
You know, project specific.
Department that had staff of people. Maybe they could handle this, but
you know, I'm saying we could get money for you.
Yeah, this is a huge.
Are you still at three?
No, at four.
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 Four what?
Staff people in our
office. Oh, I see. I just wonder if it's something that, you know, we're jumping to getting grants and we'd say, well, what's the scope? Well, maintain a spreadsheet right now? We don't have a lot of properties yet, right? So I wonder if we'd want to, we've got some number of properties that need to be property, you know, maybe we do it when we have a chunk of work for someone to do, you know?
I think
it's pretty small.
Well, but
pretty small
if you
list.
Think about it, what we want to do is have it in place so that all of a sudden when action starts to happen and we start to gather information and properties start to come through us, so we'll go, oh, okay, how are we going to keep these records? Go through a grant process application, 12, 18, 24 months later, we finally get it online. And then people are interacting with the group saying, where do I get my resources? You guys are supposed to have these records available to me.
So
I think we need to get the instrument going.
Well, and
online
even,
archives just got it. They got it. Like,
and
grant.
Even if it's not, even if it's still on the potential list, that essentially, this all started because we need access to those to do any due consideration of things.
I think we should start now. So we're not, behind the eight ball.
Let's hear what Jamie pulled up doing online
archives. Yeah, I just went to the Minnesota Historical Society and went to the grants and sent them some of the legacy stuff. And just I'm looking at all the grants that have been awarded. Mm-hmm. A Toast to Prohibition recording booklet got a $9,000 grant.
What did?
A Toast to Prohibition recording booklet. There was a, so whatever.
If they can publish
a companion booklet, to a CD. There was one. Minnesota Statutes Online Archive was awarded a grant.
In what city?
It was the reviser, the recipient was the reviser, the Office of the Reviser of Statutes. From the earliest territorial days of 1851 to more recent 1981.
That sounds like
so. This becomes a resource for historians who are doing a variety of different projects. It would be very useful.
Well, we're the third largest city in Minnesota, and we're in desperate shape in terms of our records. So I really think we can use this. Dramatic help.
You could actually, I mean, in theory, you could partner with the Historical Society and do a partnership grant,
which is what the manual did.
Yeah, that was a partnership grant. Yeah. That's a separate category of grant for which actually there are fewer applicants than most other categories that I understand.
So does that mean there's less competition for the
That's
dollars?
That's what I'm trying to apply. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was going to
voice
before you said that.
Question.
I don't want to go into a partnership grant if somehow it's, well, we're going to use this money for this because they see something they need to do. And like, well, we're going
to
use
it for this. You have to clearly spell out your project.
Yes.
I agree with him on that. I wouldn't want them to be able to block things that we want to do.
No, you'd have to clearly spell that
but
out.
But again, the partnering with SHPO gives the expertise on some of the inventory database that
Oh, I
we
thought you meant partnering with the Historical Society.
I did mean that, actually. The local Historical Society
Oh,
is what
okay.
I meant.
Yeah.
Got it.
But
because the one I was talking about partnered with SHPO, the manual partnered Mm-hmm. with the State Historical Society. Okay.
No, actually, they just, three different HPCs partnered with each other to hire a consultant from Colorado to do that. That was independent of the SHPO.
It was.
Other than the
SHPO. Michael Koop was in there, and I had thought for, okay.
Yeah, other than providing the resources.
Work for a second. I'm sorry, I was looking at Mark because he was rounding up and down. It worked, and then it.
So partner with History Center Olmsted County.
It's possible.
Could be. I tried turning the power saver stuff off. That didn't make a difference.
And again, we do have Teresa on the HBC as a non-voting member until she moves in the city.
Is that up and coming?
They were trying to sell their house. I don't know. Right now there isn't room on the HBC, so even if she moves, she'd have to be a lady in waiting, I guess.
A trainee, an intern.
Okay. I mean, I'm just glad they decided to put somebody on as a non-voting member, so at least that's represented. Okay.
Do we want to move on to the next thing? So, just wanted to give a demo. Didn't want to solve all the problems, just wanted to give a demo.
Thank you.
A lot of work.
Is that still, as I understand it, a document that isn't something we can all look at or is out there from, I don't know if it's a disclosure or a public, you know, exchange of information. That's not something that currently... You can say, yeah, I can send you a link or see it, or that somehow we can get
I've given it to Christine and Brent.
But it's under his account.
Yeah, it's my personal
account. I get it. But I mean, just looking at it and kind of seeing it and digesting what you've put together, because it's a useful thing, and I don't want to have to look through everything and sort it when you've done such a good job of putting some sense to all that.
Well, it's a question. Is it that was a concern from Pat. Does it become a public domain thing? So then the question is, what's the best way to host it? Is a Gmail account an official way the city conducts its business, right? That's what it comes down to.
And we can, I think you can just print this off and provide printed copies if you want to look at the format of it and give comments back on that.
Sure. In other words, just lock it up as a PDF so it can't be changed.
I don't know. Yeah. I'd share it with anybody if I got the okay from the staff people. I don't
really
care.
Well, if you had a PDF version of what he just showed us, is that something that you can distribute? And then if it's distributed, if it's something that's not a perfect document, or, you know, I don't know what he has, if the public said, I want to see that document, do they have a right to do it because it was in the
Not now, because it's mine.
And I think that was Pat's point. This is a working draft.
Yeah.
But in other words, if he sent it to you and you sent it to everyone on the committee, can you do that?
It becomes a public document.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
And so that's why we haven't done it so far, because we don't necessarily want to make it a public document. And if we're still at that state, I get it. I'm just,
we're still at that. Yeah.
I just wanted to be able to play with it and look at the information. I see how you've done it, and that's helpful. But I'm just curious. I'd really like to sort through.
We could again establish that subcommittee, but at the next meeting, where with him and him as a member, and then you could share it as a subcommittee member.
Well, this is more for me sitting on the couch and just spending time reading it. Yeah.
But that's a way that I'm getting other people at it. By having other people on the
subcommittee. Because we're a committee.
Because you're a subcommittee, you can then share
as long as it's not
document.
A quorum number.
Right.
Got it.
It's less than a quorum.
Yep. Thank you. That's a good idea.
But we can't do that.
I think there were a lot of good points brought up in terms of organization and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How complicated are grants to write? Does the city have people who write grants?
Nope. Just staff.
Right.
I know you're just going to smile at me when I ask these questions.
They have to write it when they have time, so.
Is the
might be more effective from an HPC member to write the grant. I mean, there's nothing magical about writing a grant.
I think
is
you
there?
Could. I'm just going to say yeah. The old HPC
road grants.
Steve and I wrote.
The Heritage Preservation Committee. Yeah.
The committee, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, pre the old HPC, actually. Steve and I wrote the grant for the Stark Report. In an evening, and we wrote a grant for the Park Service to get a new HVAC system at the Plummer House, for instance. There are, you could do it if you wanted to, or you could find another volunteer. Mm-hmm.
You could do a subcommittee on grants.
And you could appoint outsiders to the subcommittee like Jane.
Does it, I've heard about people being grant writers, does that increase either your chances of success or the dollar value you get if somebody does it because they know what they're doing and how to put it together?
Actually, the Minnesota Historical Society is committed to getting these funds out there. You're not supposed to have a professional.
Okay.
I think
it's meant for, like, you think of it, we go to any public play you have, they've got a grant. You know, so it can't be too hard. I mean, it's meant to
you
be pretty
to
broadly accessible.
Logic.
You
right,
have
but
have
your chances
through.
Of getting a good grant are better if you have somebody who has knowledge about what they want.
Right. But they do
well,
have.
Yeah, that's where I think it comes. As an HPC member, I'm writing this grant for my group, and this is important to our community. That's much more passion than, sorry, but any passion you would bring to the matter.
So part of what I was asking.
Sorry, when is the funding deadline for this?
April 13th is the deadline to get funds for July 1st. Yeah, for the small. Yeah.
So small caps at what? 10?
10.
What about for the large?
They have last year. We're long past it.
It when the next one?
Yeah, it'll be June.
We just
yeah.
10 the whole
June 30th next
but
year.
But they have monthly open houses and orientations. They will answer your questions. They will, and you can call them at any time. And they have, for the larger grants, they have a pre-application where you send in what you're trying to do, and they'll tell
and they
you
review
why
it.
It's not going to succeed, and give you tips to get it, you know, on the right path. And they really go out of their way to.
Too bad we can't pay her for the larger size grants, like an incentive thing. The more money she gets for us, the more
commission.
That's considered to be unethical in the grant writing world.
That's nice to me.
There's a whole website about. How to prepare for it, focus on specifics, make for it.
They have folks who can call.
Somebody just needs to sit down and read it.
Yeah. Do you have to have a dollar figure of what it's going to cost you so that they can see that the grant is actually applicable or the scope of the grant?
That it's
so
defined and what the costs are.
Right,
yeah.
You want to have
so you have to start to pursue those things, which we don't know.
There's a grants manual there that kind of walks you through step by step and explains the sort of nuts and bolts of how many bids you need to get, and you know, it's a lot easier for the smaller grants. You can get verbal quotes for, I think, under $5,000. Mm. You have to have at least solicited 3 bids if you're going to go for the $10,000 level, and they should be, you don't have to get 3 written bids, but
you have to have sought 3 written bids.
You have
bids.
To have sought, exactly.
I think
and then they have a record-keeping statute of limitations, more or less, where you have to keep your records in case they come back to you in a couple of years.
Like an audit.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
So the question is, part of our discussion, or the idea was put some on the website. Now whether we just get 3 bids for people to start messing with the city website.
So I thought we were talking about trying to get this information into a database that's searchable, that can be linked from the website.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking went further into how are we going to archive and keep the records that would take hot links off of wherever this is, because that seems to be, to me, to be the small bit. Mm-hmm. And then how do we get that so it sits out on the site? In fact, if that becomes a breathing document, that would be one of the things that might be near the title page of our section of a city website. And then from there, you just have hot links that's in that document that take you to the different pieces within the mm-hmm. city website. And it seems to me, is it the city that has their own IT department, or do they have a contractor?
No, their own department.
Yeah, so then how do we do that?
Yeah, I'm not going to.
If a separate consultant were to develop a database for you mm-hmm. and then could give the city's IT department, I would assume an electronic copy in the city's IT department could go through it with a fine tooth.
Well, and one of the things Jenny said when we were talking with her, this is the person we talked with at SHPO, who's the expert. She actually said that, for instance, the 106 group has electronic files on everything they've done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that we might be able to ask them for those and simply have them give them to us in those form so that then that becomes part of this database. Mm. You know, rather than going to these PDFs and all the other things.
Mm-hmm. And your current consultant could be charged with delivering an electronic
file. Right. I mean, they haven't been. That's not part of their contract. But I mean, again, that's part of what we should be doing. So we're building the database
step by step. The only thing about a current consultant is they're very expensive. So, I'd be careful before we assign more stuff to
them. Well, they probably are producing an electronic copy anyway, and it's actually cheaper for them to deliver you an electronic copy than to deliver you a
paper
physical copy. So.
Unless they charge more for it, even though it costs them less.
It seems to me a next logical step would be to talk to that, I can't remember the person's name, from SHPO.
Jenny
about
Way.
Yeah, and say, what would you recommend as next steps for creating this database, right? We have this worksheet, we have stuff. And
get guidance from her.
And otherwise, we can't write a grant. We don't know what we want. We don't know if we want a database access. What is it, a website? I don't know. So, yeah. I think we're getting ahead of ourselves with grant writing, because right now we have an inventory of maybe one property that we've gone through the process of designating, and the city council hasn't adopted it yet, so it's kind of hard to get. If we had I got a lot of records and I need someone to, okay, we've designated X number of properties and I need someone to pull it all together, some meaty step to go through, that's to me.
But the database, it's as the GIS mapping has potential, our database responsibilities is for this whole list.
Yeah.
Not just the ones that are quote designated.
Yeah. And we really have problems with in
but the extent of
that.
It is this spreadsheet almost meets what we have today.
Right.
It's what is it? It's a recon survey for most of the properties.
This is workable, unlike the last time we had tried to have a session to prioritize mm-hmm. when even you couldn't find things.
Yeah, that was frustrating.
I mean, that
for
was
everybody.
Yeah. So this is to some degree we probably just need to test run this in terms of having a session where we're trying to prioritize the potential list.
Yeah,
which
we could look at the list, whatever it is, yeah. I think the top vote getter I remember was Calvary. I remember that. I don't remember anything after that. So.
These grants, the smaller grants are every month, whoever's looking.
Quarterly.
Hate to miss the March deadline.
We're going to miss it. I mean,
quarterly, we'll have
they collect the tax all the time.
And
it'll be there next
this was
next
a good
quarter.
Conversation. Do people agree? I mean, I jotted down what Mark said. I think it is a conversation with Jenny Way, the person at SHPO, and sort of asked, for her thoughts on our next steps about how to.
The perfect solution. She'd say, you know what? Talk to this, Stillwater. And we talked to Stillwater. So, We'll let you tack onto our database for free. Yeah. Wonderful. And they've worked through all these issues that we've never, and it could be a free solution. So it could be a few phone calls away, but what does it take really to add a database to someone's existing database? It's nothing. It will pay for that hard drive for $100. That's really what it comes down to.
So the only thing that becomes an issue, if it's something where we're tacking onto theirs and then their IT department, their record keeping department goes another direction.
We'll have to see where it is. I don't know. For all I know, Stillwater, whatever the city has, it's on someone's laptop. Someone on the HPC has a laptop. It's not in a fancy way. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I think that's what we have to learn from other sites that have done this, you know, kind of other
so
cities.
So I think this is, if you're agreeable to this is a conversation, I don't know if it's just you or if it's you and me or it's you and Brent, with Jenny. Because, again, you have the knowledge base to talk about
I'd be happy to have a conversation with her, sure.
Okay.
And anybody else that wants to be there, that's fine.
Okay.
So, Christine, have you talked about this issue with Michael Koop?
Michael's the one who put us in
to Jenny. I understand
Jenny.
The methodology of doing a survey is
yeah.
Jenny's area.
Yeah.
But in terms of disseminating it, it might be Michael.
And Michael's out of town until February 28th.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's on vacation.
How nice.
Yeah, he's coming back when they're moving.
When what?
They're moving.
Oh.
Because they're moving into the governor's administration.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, but so when you say Michael would be the one, in terms of parallels with other communities, is that why you're saying Michael might
that's
be the
why
one?
I'm saying.
Okay.
That's
he might
the thing.
Have
you hope there's some standard they've already figured out.
Right.
This is how we do data. Because
right.
she had some distinct opinions.
And she
right?
couldn't, we actually tried to ask her this question,
yeah, okay.
and she didn't answer it. So
maybe then she had contacts with some of the cities that have ordinance.
No, but I think that's
then we could
Jane's
talk to them.
Point is, Michael, in terms of the
he might have
office,
that overview.
He's the one,
okay.
he's the state person who works with all of the local HPCs,
okay.
whereas
right.
Jenny does not.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
And Michael's the one who sat on the task force.
So Michael's a better person to talk to than really, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah.
From SHIP, though. He's
at least Michael would know.
From the state
it's Fred at this one, Joe and Gus. Talk to them
sat on that
and find out how they do it.
Mm-hmm. With Dave Peterson
and,
heading it for
you know, Minneapolis,
whatever
Paul.
Period.
You could suggest to him that this might be a great topic for the next preservation conference. And
a statewide database. Why do we reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, why not? I think that would be very helpful to people in my line of work.
Yeah.
And we would be able
and
to.
And then we can get Michael to do the grant.
And
it would be a bigger
get it. He would get it.
Yeah,
he
right.
would get it,
would,
and he would want
because that's the story that anybody at the state level would love. Oh, great. We'll get one of these for the entire state, and any new HPC comes along can leverage it. That's
and all the historians can use this
yeah,
data.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want it in one database. That's when it's most powerful. Yeah.
Okay.
He may have already thought of this.
Or not.
We
or
have
not.
To get
him.
We have to
get
him.
I don't
There's, I doubt that he's, yeah. And, I mean, they were moved. The legislature last year moved them from SHPO to the governor's administrative staff. So that's what's happening at the end of February. So
that's going to knock a good bit of the year out, I think.
Yeah, sadly.
Trying to do things.
Okay, but I took Jenny out of this, and it's a Michael Koop contact. And
I
again,
think so. That'd
and
be
what I'll do is, I mean, again, when he gets back, he'll be deluged. But I can send him an email
mm-hmm.
just saying we want to have this conversation.
Sure. Sounds good.
So Michael does know we're doing this. He's the one who put us in with Jenny. So it'll be a good follow-up, Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's 6:05.
So I think were we going to talk more about the ordinance itself?
Yeah.
Do people have the time? Do they want to?
Well, we discussed earlier, we hoped this was the last training session.
I'd rather do it today. They have to come back again.
Well, and I've got a 6:30 that I was going to be just a little late for. I'm glad to be here till 6:30.
And in here, there's going to be a meeting which I have to go to at 7. But that's
in here. There's a meeting.
But you're
not going anywhere.
Yeah, I'm not going.
You know, after our last meeting, though, after our last meeting when we talked about the Carlton, I think we really got a firm grasp of the ordinance. At least what's relevant to what's going to come up to us day in, day out. Is this property significant or not? What factors are considered? So I think I feel pretty good. I mean, that was a very good learning experience, but it was good to have the prep stuff before that. There's
okay.
a lot of other stuff about how do they get nominated and appealed
well,
and things
so
like that.
So what I had asked Jane to do, which might be helpful in this brief time, is I asked her to highlight what she thought were the most important things or perhaps the most complex parts,
mm-hmm.
And sort of try to go through those briefly and see if people had questions.
Yes, sounds good.
So does that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Perfect.
Okay, last time I had done some highlighting, and I think we did a lot of background on the sort of legal underpinnings of our current ordinance, and we got pretty far. We got into the criteria, which is all the way on page 14.
Now, are you looking at 19B 14?
Slash or hyphen 14 down on the bottom. Those are actually page numbers.
Yeah.
But in my attempt to review,
and everybody needs to use him one that's the 12.4.17 version.
Okay.
Because that's on the last page of the ordinance.
I have updated 2017. Yeah.
Yeah, on the last page of the ordinance, folks, there's this ongoing thing of addendums, and so you always have to be working off the latest.
Can you show me that?
Yeah. It's always here.
The very last, the very bottom.
So they give it a number and they give it a date.
Yeah, I got it. 12.4.
So, Christine was asking me just to review the whole thing again, and I did see some things on page 19B-4 that I'm not sure we really talked about last time, and it struck me as being worth pointing out at least, and that is subdivision 12, that the demolition permit. Just wanted to say that the designated property, subdivision 13, and the demolition permit, subdivision 12, are really quite broad, broader than you might think.
So subdivision 12 and subdivision 13.
Yeah.
Okay.
Subdivision 12, it's not just for the actual demolition, but if a building were to be moved, someone would need to come to you to get a demolition permit, even though it's not.
Well, that's the demolition or removal of an existing building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that the key is your removal is your point, the relocation.
Yeah, that's my point, is that it's not necessarily just for demolition. And likewise, designated property includes not just landmark properties, but potential landmarks.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. And that's that GIS website had all of those flagged.
How do they distinguish between building or structure? How do you define a structure as separate?
It's in your...
Can we wait one second? On this subject, our building and safety, if a property gets moved, it's issued a demolition permit. That is what they call it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So,
because essentially to take it off of the foundation or do whatever, they consider that a demolition.
And the historians would say a similar thing.
Right.
Yeah. It's a process of last resort.
Okay.
And then we talked about what the HPC was charged with under our ordinance. And we didn't really discuss it, but the Heritage Preservation Program.
Before you go on to that, on subdivision 15, the same page,
yes.
Is the term historic data.
Yes.
Because it's what we're responsible for. So if you look at the bottom of that page,
mm-hmm.
historic data shall mean research papers, surveys, maps that describe Rochester's architectural and cultural development patterns in the context of...
But, you know, getting back to that database discussion, would the notes of support, the letters, the agendas, would that all be relevant? That historical data that we want. You know what I mean?
A lot of the stuff that's separate pieces might be important, and I think that's a case-by-case basis, so I can't... Sometimes it wouldn't be, but I can't a priori say it wouldn't be or it would be.
Yeah. So on the following page, 19B.05...
Wait, I still want to go back to that. But the definition of structure on the building structure...
Sorry.
The word structure didn't make any sense to me.
It's in your definition.
But in terms of what he just pulled up, it doesn't really make any
structures
sense in terms of how you demolish...
Yeah.
The combination of materials to form. What does that mean? What are you demolishing based on subdivision 32?
A structure could be a bridge, for instance. A building
there.
Needs a
could
roof.
That's the definition.
Structure could be the Libby's Horn Tower.
Yeah.
Could be something underground.
Sorry.
It could be underground. It could be.
Could be a memorial. Mm-hmm. Could be a rock with a plaque on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Right,
all right, I just don't like that definition because it's kind of weird in terms of the way it's...
Structure is considered to be some physical thing that's not a site. Sometimes a site is what is historic.
A building has a roof.
Right.
A structure does not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't see the definition here. And then there's the object, which doesn't fit into either of those criteria.
Yeah.
But, 19B05 is what we were just talking about with the need to keep historic data publicly available. and that would be the database project.
Mm-hmm. Identification of historic properties, that piece? That what you read?
Yes.
Yeah.
19B05.
The documents generated and collected as a result of...
What page is that on?
19B-6.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thanks, Brent. Subdivision 2, so it's 19B05. It's 2.
And then
so
subdivision.
So the historic data, that's like the phase 1, phase 2.
Yep. So far, that's what we have.
But we're not calling them that. We're now calling them reconnaissance and intensive.
Yeah. Well, it's historic data.
Right.
Research papers,
historic
surveys,
broadly.
And maps that you describe
right. Under
your definitions. Then under subdivision 3, in that same section, it says a list of designated properties and an updated catalog of all known publications, articles, books, pamphlets, policies, or other materials having a direct bearing on the heritage preservation program shall be kept and made available to the public. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think in one of our previous meetings together, I suggested you might want to consider partnering with the library to make these things available to the public.
Right, to store the physical document, if it had a physical
yes.
form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, the library website might be willing to.
They might have a database.
They might.
I don't know.
Grant money is a lot easier to get for the libraries.
Oh, okay.
They have their own pool.
Yes.
So they
in the legacy grants. Yeah.
Yes, they don't have to go through the heritage silo, as they call it.
Although their computers
do they keep
are very slow.
But their own, the staff computers aren't necessarily
they're separate
as
from
slow
that.
As
yeah.
the,
but the public,
public computers
are very slow.
So do they? Where do they keep physical things like that?
They catalog them. They give them an inventory number, a card catalog number, and they shelve them.
But is there... I haven't explored the library enough to look at, there's boxes of loose leaf stuff,
there
files.
There are actually what they call vertical files.
Okay,
and those
okay.
are filing cabinets.
Yeah, okay.
At least they used to be.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know.
I don't know if that's it.
Yeah, but that could be a how we would capture some of the stuff that we couldn't make electronic or
it
something.
Could,
yeah.
And I did bring this last time, and I think I might have given it to Christine, but there's a grant for that. And this is what they call a structure.
We get easily distracted.
A structured grant for which you don't really have to even apply. You fill out an application, and then here's a little sheet where they give you all these resources that you can get, and there's a price on them, and you just click, and you don't have to justify it. Hmm. It's quite simple. It's as simple as possible grant you can get. So there you go. Whoever wants to think about that.
Well, it's a shopping cart.
It is.
They know the things
that's
you might want, and it's
exactly.
a shopping cart.
Yes, and if you have some other items that you would like them to consider paying for, you can put them on.
You can write them in.
Yeah.
So it's a shopping cart with a plus list.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. What's that's through SHPO 2? Or that's the legacy?
That's through the legacy grants administered by SHPO.
By SHPO.
So you go to the page that Jamie was just on.
And what's it called?
I put the address on. I hand wrote the address on that sheet.
The
yeah.
web address. Yeah.
Brent's decided
yeah.
Brent's going to handle this one.
No.
Like he's really excited about it.
No.
No justification.
I'm just learning. This is probably what I missed for the first 25 minutes of the meeting when I wasn't here.
Yeah.
I was catching up.
No, you when you weren't
no, we
here,
assigned everything
it was
you.
Before this started crashing. So when you came in,
I can leave.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's the bad
it's the pirate things I have here.
Oh, that's right.
The pirate things?
No,
okay. On page 19B-9, that would be subdivision 5 mm-hmm. of section 19B.08. I think you know this, but you've got this 60-day review period for the SHPO to comment on landmark property applications, and I just wanted to point out that their recommendations are non-binding, which I think you know. But
when we know that, because again, that happened, one of the reasons we didn't review the Days Inn Hotel Carlton in May or early July was because it was realized that we didn't have the report back from Michael Koop. Mm-hmm. And that letter, I think, was written in July. And it notes that it's non-binding. So I assume everyone
knows. Yeah. Okay. And he, of course, did say that the staff recommended listing or designation
right.
or whatever, and everybody understood that we were still having a public hearing.
Well, the point is, it's like any report. It's a recommendation or a study with findings,
mm-hmm.
and it's for the HPC and then the council to make decisions.
Mm-hmm. Your recommendation is non-binding
right.
as well. So there. And the next two subdivisions down, the assigned staff is authorized to reject any incomplete application. We talked about that last time. Then we go into removals.
That's a good way to phrase it. That, I mean, well, within the city, the groups are called advisory boards. I've never heard it called non-binding, but
mm-hmm.
that's what it...
Mm-hmm. Demolition permits. Wondered if everybody understood what these criteria were on 19B-12, subdivision 4. There are three...
19B-12... Subdivision.
Second page 12. Mm-hmm. Right?
Sorry.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's.
Right.
Well, you said subdivision.
Yeah.
4.
Subdivision 4.
This thing.
There are three criteria that would allow you to issue a. What is it called?
A demolition permit?
LPDP, and I'm trying to think
landmark
what that
property
is. Landmark property
demolition
permit.
That's
okay.
It. Yeah.
So
but that goes
prior to
does that go to the council for, or does it come HPC then?
The HPC makes a recommendation for
yeah,
that
to
as
to
well.
The council, yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting, just right before that there's, if it's an immediate safety hazard, not sound,
yes.
there's an avenue for that too.
Right.
Yes.
So you can demonstrate that it's about to collapse.
And I think that is, I'm sure that would be a really thorny type of hearing to have.
Right. You caused it to become dilapidated, so
that
it's about to collapse.
That could be an issue, too.
That's the demolition by neglect issue.
That's covered here. But so this actually talks about demolition permits in the context of... historic districts, not seeing anything for individual. I'm sure it must be there, but I'm not seeing an individual structure apart from the public safety and no structurally. So I think we talked about
this
landmark.
This is under
landmark.
Demolition of landmark property.
Yes,
permit,
it is.
So
and we're in the, but we're talking about districts, really.
So subdivision 3, the individual properties, and
okay.
then subdivision
yeah,
4,
I think
the
that's,
okay.
district.
Yeah.
So for the individual properties, you've got the public safety issue and the lack of structural integrity. And then C, I always thought was a little strange. No documentation exists to support or demonstrate that the property has significance. But if it's passed through your process,
you would hope there is
documentation,
some.
Unless something has changed or something has happened to refute the original documents. I could see that being a criterion there.
And it's, again, the potential of demolition permit is why it's important to have all this ongoing documentation
right.
and retain it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because then someone could come back and say, where is this evidence? We need to see it. Okay. It happens all the time
city
at National Register that things are taken
things
off
like
the
that
list.
Forever?
Usually because of lack of
yeah.
integrity.
You can
right.
go back years
well,
to city records and meeting agendas and all that stuff.
Sometimes the structure is actually gone.
13.
And they just catch up to it.
Does this apply
if you wanted to get something
from the National Register has no regulatory authority, unlike your designations.
Does this apply to landmark as well as potentially landmark?
The integrity question isn't structural integrity, it's its integrity. For its historic
potential
reasons.
Landmarks, okay. Then it could be buildings where there's just no documentation. It's on our list, and they want to demolish it, and so it would be, if there's no documentation for it, that could be one of the reasons.
That is a good question, but on 19B.12 does say landmark property, so not potential landmark.
But I think the potential landmarks still have to go through the same procedure. Most of our buildings right now are potential landmarks. So if somebody wanted to demolish something on the potential list,
yeah,
it still has to go through the same procedure. So that's why that's probably in there. But
I noticed
right
that the section before that is 19B.11, development involving landmark property or landmark district. It doesn't say potential landmark.
This section is on landmark properties, so you'd have to look elsewhere in terms of potential.
Yes, there must be a specific section. You got that handy cheat sheet last week. So the potential landmarks and landmarks are both considered historic properties.
In terms of the definitions?
Yes.
But
19B16 is removal of potential landmark designation.
Is that the same as demolition?
I don't know. I'm just looking at the table of contents trying to figure out where it might be.
Reading that.
You know, that one property we did remove from our list, our potential list.
Mm-hmm. The 103.
And so I'm not sure if Brent issued him a certificate. Says you're supposed to issue a certificate.
I was wondering about that.
Aaron did.
Aaron did. Really? Oh, did he? Okay.
Just a letter.
Okay, I'm just joking.
I didn't
frame it. I don't know. It says a certificate. And she has some very nice artwork and stuff like the graphics.
I don't see it anywhere. And that is.
Because I know we talked in the council meeting. Over and over, they said that we would use, they're all protected, including all the, originally the buildings on the Stark list, and then it became the buildings on the list that we have. But then they always said all the potential buildings were protected from the demolition permits, but I don't know.
Well, it means 19B.14, designation of potential landmark properties, it says all such properties shall be designated as potential landmark properties on the inventory, so.
Right, but the question is, can you give a demolition? What procedure do you follow when you give a demolition permit? Someone asked for that.
I think you got treated as being a potential, or you got treated as being a landmark proper.
Well, it doesn't say that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody showed up for a demolition permit, and they're on the potential list, they frankly are just on our radar, but they're not officially designated, so... I mean, technically, the city council is the watchdog, right? Or whoever, who approves a demolition permit in general?
The way it had been set up was the HBC reviewed demolition permits on anything potential or listed.
Yeah, where's that written is the question.
And that's what we're,
So that's an issue to bring
for.
Up with Pat, I think.
Yeah, I think we should bring that up sooner rather than later.
Don't wait until.
Why don't you write an email to Pat?
Me? What about you?
I'm asking you to.
He already admitted he doesn't want to touch something that has battery or cord. You can write a nice letter to her.
You can write a letter.
I'm not writing a letter. I'll
You can stop and see her.
I mean,
stop
by her office tomorrow. Pat couldn't be here today, so then it really is silly because not all these people came. We could have done it another day. Pat could have been here. Yeah. So Barry's going to contact Pat on that.
Look, he's got a smartphone. He says he's not computer savvy. He's got a smartphone.
He doesn't have a flip phone.
Come on, come on.
All right, guys.
Really?
We have four more minutes.
Yeah.
We're all looking for this language, too, aren't we?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm skimming through.
But again, the thing is, I think, and Terry's last day is tomorrow.
Who's?
Terry's.
Atkins?
Yeah.
Correct.
But again, he'll be open for questions. So we can have Pat
celebrating at 8 o'clock. Where's my cake? I'm done.
No, I mean, he did say you would be open for questions because, you know.
I'm sure Terry would refer it to the new city attorney since.
No, since Terry wrote the ordinance. I'm just saying Pat can skim for it.
Yeah.
And then
if
she needs to, she can check with Terry in terms of the writing and the interpretation. I wouldn't ask the new city attorney to.
Probably hasn't even looked at it.
In Randy Peterson's article, he quoted Terry as saying he would be available.
Okay.
I mean, he's even attending the council meeting next Wednesday. Yeah.
Maybe he'll attend more.
Maybe he'll just apply to be an HPC or something.
What?
Maybe he'll apply to be an HPC.
Local interpretation. Okay, Terry, what does this mean?
He could be the database.
Be No, I have nothing more that I thought you might need to have pointed out. So anything, if you need anything from me, please ask. I don't have anything.
I'm good.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for taking us through that.
Thank you for making me part of this. That's